They're loading into the barriers. Moods, Mytho, Rog, and the Rain Man. And they're underway for Moody on the Mic.
The number one racing podcast in Australia is back for another week. That's right, it's Moody on the Mic. We're nearing our mid-year break, but we're not quite there yet. I'm Roger Aldridge. Joining me, of course, Peter Moody, Anthony Mithen. No Tom Hackett, no resident Rain Man. Moods, I'm not sure exactly what he's doing. I presume he's busy negotiating peace in the Middle East or Eastern Europe, but he's not with us here today.
The head of content and media for Ladbrokes Australasia doesn't find time for Ladbrokes' biggest podcast and highest rating show. You know, quite obviously he's out there in the Pacific trying to find that shipping container with the Moody on the Mic merch, or maybe he's looking for those two tickets that we're going to give away today for people to join him on his table. But anyhow, listen, he signs our checks.
Moods, did he just get... I just got so excited. It was Stradbroke Day. It was Ladbrokes and Stradbroke. And I just got so excited, I burst a pooper valve.
No, mate, I think that's the case. I just want him to bounce back with a little rant like you did a few weeks back where we took the piss out of you and you couldn't make the show, Mytho. And, you know, I hope he comes in with something like that.
Speaking of taking the piss, we do have two. We're giving away, or we're announcing the winners of two double passes, the two Ladbrokes double passes to the luncheon. And there was a common theme with the entries that if you took the piss out of Mytho, you were very well regarded. Now, I didn't judge the winner. I sent them through to Rayman and I said, it's your table. You can pick the two, and he picked two winners, so we'll announce them later on. We are going to give away a double pass to Moods' table as well. So we'll work out exactly what we're going to ask for in that respect. I am tempted to just pick the biggest knob who enters so he can go onto Moods' table, but the biggest knob's already got his own table because Rosemont bought a table of 10, so we'll have to find the second biggest knob.
I'm just happy for the first time in my life you've called me a biggest knob.
Yeah, I'm sure that's not something that gets thrown your way too often, Mytho. Hey, big news overnight. Asfura keeping up the Australian tradition of heading to Royal Ascot and showing them how to sprint in a similar vein to they come out here and show us how to stay. But Moods are great for a friend of the show and a lot of people love. There's been a lot of love for Henry Dwyer. Good to see him stake out this plan a long time ago and it's paid dividends.
I think we're all a little bit sceptical aware Asfura would sit in the food chain travelling over there and representing Australia. She hadn't won had she won a Group 1? Did she win an Ugly Plate?
She won the Scalacci, so she Group 2 winner.
Scalacci, yeah. Yeah, she wasn't a Group 1 winner, and for Henry and Connections to put their balls on the line and do that trip, I think we're all a little bit sceptical on how it had come off, and then off the back of a first-up run, yes, everyone expected improvement, but, was that improvement expected? But listen, congratulations. It is no small feat travelling a horse that far. Getting it to do the job and did it unbelievably well. So hats off to Henry. He's an old fellow Caulfield trainer. Had a lot of great times with him and the team there, and well deserved. He works hard, puts in, and he can't win a King Island Cup, but he can win a Group 1 King Charles III Stakes at Ascot.
No, it's a great touch for Henry and his team and the hard work that went in. I spoke to him at Melbourne Premier, Rog, about the plan. It was starting to filter out that Asfura was a bit of a tip to go to Europe and have a go at Royal Ascot. And I said to him, what's your thinking? And he said, well, the problem I've got is she's a two-time Group 2 winner, Group 1 placed. She is a 1,000-metre specialist. She, you know, maybe at a pinch she can get 5.5 furlongs, 1,100, but... the races for her through the Brisbane Carnival and even, a race like the Sangster over in Adelaide, 1,200, I just know she's going to run a good fourth, fifth, sixth, fading at the end. She just doesn't get that trip. She's an out-and-out speedy horse. There's five races in Europe at either Group 1 or Group 2 level with rich purses for European racing. Why wouldn't I go up there and campaign her up there? I've done my maths. If she runs, I think it was something like if she runs a placing in two of them, it'll be trip covered. And if she goes better than that, well, we're obviously in front. And If she doesn't fire a shot, well, I suppose she'll be talking about knobs. She'll be probably seeing a bit of one in September up there to, you know, Frankel, Kingman, you know, Loop de Vega, one of those flash stallions up there. So when I spoke to him about it, I thought this is a genius plan from a bloke who's obviously thought long and hard about what the program would look like if he keeps Asfura here in Australia. And she'll bang around running her fourth, fifth, sixth, having everyone go, you know, she's okay, but she's not top level. Well, she is at 1,000 metres. So well done to them. They've done a great job.
Isn't the Royal Ascot, and you know it very well, Moods, with Black Caviar going over there, that isn't there a rise towards the end that it's a pretty testing 1,000 too? So you need to be able to run at least a little bit further than 1,000.
Yeah, well, listen, she has proven herself to 1,100 probably, and it probably is a testing 1,000, but beautifully ridden by Oisin Murphy, you know, held up for a late charge and, you know, just produced her at the right time. And obviously she handled that quite comfortably. Listen, I'm not going to delve into and downgrade the opposition at all, but I don't know what the opposition were with where the quality of the European sprinters sit, but Asfura is better than them, plain and simple, and well done, team. And another Victorian-bred mare to go over there and get the job done as well, so well done to the Victorian breeders, predominantly Nora Lane Farm in this case, who are the breeders and the owners of this filly.
Passed into the sales. You know, one of the ones left on the shelf, and the breeder had to put his hand in his pocket and pay the training fees. And well done to Nora Lane Farm. It's a great story of perseverance, and they've got the best sprinting mare in the country, in the world, perhaps.
Well, certainly today they have. Moods, one question. Do you want to take the clock back to when Black Caviar was over there and running? I've got a vague recollection. How did you celebrate after the Royal Ascot, when obviously she had some issues, so there was a few other things going on in your mind, but do you remember exactly how you celebrated that victory?
Yeah, we celebrated it in the car park at Ascot with a broken down car. We never left the track until just after midnight, and plenty of stories to go with that as well. It was a unique celebration. Connections got back to London, and myself, Michael Bryant, my chiropractor, Brett Kavanagh, great mate and very good trainer up in New South Wales, and our driver, we got passed from car boot to car boot in the car park at Royal Ascot while we were waiting for someone to come and get our car going, which happened at about midnight. So brand new Range Rover, it had done 400 mile, and it failed to kick off after the race, but we had an absolute ball. And I'm sure Henry and Connections probably celebrated slightly different, but just as jovial, I would imagine, in their celebrations last evening in London or Newmarket or wherever they might have been.
I got a text from Henry's cousin, Alistair Dwyer, who's a good mate of mine and also Road Mance. He's now the general manager of Southside Racing, actually, down there, Pakenham and Cranbourne. So, look, for that reason, I'm pretty sure this trip's going to be appearing as a tax deduction when he meets his accountant in a few weeks. But he said they were just heading to London for a stake. Now, that was at 6 a.m. I got that text off Al. So that would have been 9 p.m. over there now. So it sounded like very measured celebrations indeed, although I think there might have been a little bit more to it than just a quiet stake in London, perhaps. Let's flash back to last weekend, though. The Stradbroke. Rainman could not have been more excited. And the three-year-old Steffi Magnetica got the chocolates. Bella Nipotina, who you just about declared, Mitho, geez, you were about 0.25 lengths off being a genius, and she did it on a good four, no less. But I've got to say, Moods, Bella looks to have a mortgage on the Tatsiara sort of next weekend. But what did you make of the winner? Could she be a player in the spring as a four-year-old in some of the bigger races, whether they be in Sydney or in Melbourne?
Oh, listen, she got the job done on Saturday, courtesy of a terrific ride, and congratulations to Zach Lloyd, his first Group 1 win. He saved ground, came up the inside, not hard on the fence, but when he realised there was a log jam out wide, he saved all that ground up the inside, got a dream run, 4.5 kilo, pulling the weights. Bella Nipotina, how brave was she? You know, tremendous, 1,400. Did that just see her out? I'm not sure, but she was unbelievably brave in defeat. And, God, she's a courageous mare that's raced unbelievably consistent, hasn't she, for a long time now. But Steffi Magnifica, she ran good in the 10,000. A little bit disappointing in the Fred Best without the probably the right run. My filly Roll On High, who finished 5 or 6 lengths behind her on Saturday, beat her in that race, and then she well and truly turned the table. So it'll be interesting. They go to the Tats Tiara next Saturday week. I suppose a bit of a rematch.
Yeah, and then Mitha, you're pretty close with Michael Christian, and who of course is the owner of Bella Nipotino. Does he talk about her the same way that you talk about Seamus Award?
Oh no, he's far more effusive than I am about Seamus Award, which gives you some sort of indication that there would be hand on loin every time he even thinks about her name. But why wouldn't you? You know, more than $10 million in prize money and a rock star racehorse who they've been brave enough to continue to race. And we talk about the colts, you know, heading off the stud as soon as they fart towards a Group One race, and look, I'm guilty of that. I'm not critical of that, but people get a bad rap for it. What about the racing career of Bella Nipotina? 50 race starts, couple of Group Ones, brave every time she goes around. It was awesome to see they were brave enough to put a mare like her in at a handicap, which we spoke about last week. But she only got half a kilo extra than weight for age. So,
but she's running as good as ever, Mitho. Like they talk about. You know, I heard you on radio on RSN on Monday, and Michael Felger, Andrew Bensley are listening, don't give Mitho 3 hours of airtime. People, when are they going to retire? Well, she's racing as good as she ever has, and she's been a bloody great honest horse for a long time. She's why the hell would you even think about retiring her the way she's going at the moment? She's in career best form.
She can have her first foal the year after, can't she? That's always my thinking with a mare like that. Like she can go and win whatever her first foal is going to make at in a sales ring. She can go and make that 3 times over on the track in the next 12 months. So they've got a decision to make. It'll be an interesting one. And they've come this far. Why not keep racing her while she's fit and well and wants to do it? So, Steffi Magnifica, I was sure that Moods would make that about him, given that she's out of Midsummer Music, who Moods trained to win a Stradbroke himself. Was that your first Stradbroke, Moods? Midsummer Music?
My only Stradbroke, Mitho, Midsummer Music, but I'm not a backslapper. Like, self-praise is worth 5/8 of fuck all. And I appreciate that, unlike yourself. So I wasn't.
It's not his back that he's usually slapping, Moods, to be fair.
Well, yeah, I've got it valued. I've got self-praise valued a little more highly than you.
I've got no doubt. Listen, she's been a pretty handy broodmare, Midsummer Music. I think 5 foals now for 3 stakes performers and now a Group 1 winner. And funnier things, bred at Nor Elaine Farm by Omaru Force was Midsummer Music. And so it's been a big week for that farm and
unbelievable.
And Stradbroke winner herself. So I'm not sure how many times that probably happened, a winner of a Group 1 throwing the winner of the Group 1, I suppose.
Yeah, it doesn't happen very often. Moods, I haven't caught up with you and asked this question. We've spoken, but I've failed to get the answer to this. Did you get out of the Caxton Hotel alive in the end? He rang me on Saturday afternoon after the first couple of races. He'd won a couple. He'd tipped the bar. They were buying him beers at a frenzied rate. I was a bit worried that you would even make it to Eagle Farm to see the Stradbroke. Did you get there?
Yeah, no, I did. I headed off shortly after that, thank God, because my next 6 runners all got beat.
Well, you tipped them the runner at Bendigo then. That's a, not a bad collect. I bet you they would have been happy with that.
Yeah, no, we a couple of early starters there at the mid 12:05 and I think 1:10, we won a couple of races and I was god for about half an hour, but I quickly departed after the next one got beat.
A broadsiding early on in the day at Eagle Farm in the JJ Atkins, Rayman's favourite race, and he'll tell you that it's the best form guide for a 2-year-old heading on to their 3-year-old season. Well, broadsiding, and we mentioned it last week, he looks like the sort of horse that is going to be a proper 3-year-old. There are shades of animal about him. James Cummings, before the race, said that, you know, I wanted to get through today, but, you know, certainly there would be half an eye on a Cox Plate. Well, after that performance in the JJ Atkins, it will be surely all roads lead to the Ladbrokes Cox Plate with a featherweight because he looks a proper horse.
I've got to say, I was looking for holes in broadsiding. I did tip him to win the Champagne Stakes back in Sydney, and I had him tagged as, you know, obviously maybe a bit of a wet tracker, and he carried that form through to Brisbane, but that was absolutely dominant on Saturday there, and probably is an impressive Group 1 winning two-year-old that we've certainly seen this season and maybe for a good few seasons, to be quite honest. So, son of Too Darn Hot. Does he see out a mile and a quarter? Well, time will tell, but he's going to be a lovely Caulfield Guineas horse, one would think.
The great question now is, will Australian breeders get access to Too Darn Hot? Because there's a rising thought that his value is skyrocketing the world all over, and putting them on a plane and sending them halfway across the world is a risky business. And jungle drums are beating that he might just take up residence at Dalham Hall in Newmarket and not move too far. So Godolphin, Darley Stallions have got a decision to make there, but that's a bit of a watching brief at the moment for us breeders. He's a gun stallion, and we'd love to have him, but he might just become too more valuable.
Launch your punting plan with the Ladbrokes app. Loaded with the best racing features, including Bet Ticker, see where the big bets land in real time. Yard Comment, giving you the on-course insight straight from the parade ring. And Black Book, add your favourite runners and get notified before they race. Ladbrokes.
What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
The feature racing this weekend, we're going to stick in Queensland. It's at Ipswich, and it's the Ipswich Cup meet. We're going to preview three races there. We're going to kick it off with the Cooney, which is race six on the program, and I'll run you through the market. Given that Rayman is off saving the world and Hedged is the $2.40 favourite, been good early money too, $2.90 into $2.40 since markets went up on Wednesday afternoon, just a few hours ago as we record this. Golden Decade has been $5.50 out to $6. $6 also for Miss Aria, who's out from $4.40. So a big drift there as the money's come for Hedged. Sofrado's at $7.50, $10 Fortuneer, and then plenty of bigger odds for the rest. I will kick it off. And look, I certainly haven't given up on Hedge being a better than average horse, and that's what the market's showing and the early money's showing. But he hasn't won since his first up run this prep. He did run Jolly Star to a nose in the Group 2 Arrowfield, third up at 1,200. And the stable clearly think he's wanting further because he's never been tried by on 1,200 metres, and this is at 1,350. That's a big query for me, and that's why I thought I'd go with Miss Aria, who's been awesome this prep, albeit in slightly lesser grade, but this isn't much of a step up. She's tried at this trip and successful. She's, two near photo finishes away from being 5 from 5 this prep. Is she a bit too deep in the prep? Well, we'll find out, but I'm going to take the bigger price and bet on her progression more than Hedged being up to the trip. So Miss Aria for mine, number 8, currently $6 with Ladbrokes. Like I say, did open 4:40 on Wednesday afternoon, but I might snap that $6 up now, Mitho.
I like the other one at the similar odds, Golden Decade. This son of Sabug, $6 and $2.05, so they're equal second picks, these two. But drawn one, like the gate around Ipswich, it's a tight course. You don't want to be off the track here. And gets better, this horse, as gets deeper into the preparation. Only one start from 6 attempts, either first or second up, but has won 5 times out of 14 starts. So I'm tipping nice little pipe opener, fourth last start. Golden Decade for me, Ryan Maloney up.
God, you've done well to come up with all that information in about 30 seconds, and you didn't even know the race was being run, Mitho, so that was a great effort. I'm going to stick with the Price Kent Jr. stable here in Hedged. The horses have been racing unbelievably well up there in Queensland. Mick Bell, the singing trainer, is looking after the boys' horses up there and doing a great job with them. So I'm with Hedged on top. If you're going to get 1350, he'll get it around Ipswich. And the Coward's Way out the favourite for me.
They're going all right, Price and Kent, given that I think Mick's been over and he was over on some desert island or something when they won the Queensland Derby a few weeks ago. And Junior's actually at Royal Ascot on his honeymoon at the moment, I think, and they've got a runner over there. So Mick Bell doing the work. Let's move on now to the Ipswich Cup. Yeah, you might think, oh, it's a cup. It's a big race. It's a shit one. There's not a lot of form here. Let's run through the market. It's $4.50 equal favourites, Lunsies and Regal Lion. $3.50 out to $4.50, Lunsies. $5 into $4.50, Regal Lion. Brookhaven, $8. $9, June 45. And then you got $10 for Zumon and King Frankel, and bigger odds the rest. And there's value down in the market if you can find it because, well, like I said, maybe a shit one might be a bit too far. But, look, there's not a lot of form in this race that have you excited. And it's just about a pineapple. But as I've said before on this show, I don't do pineapples. Of all the runners, I think the horse that's going to be best suited is Desert Icon. And he's a big price too. He's not beaten this far and not beaten far in this race last year. And he's contested much better races than this. He is a rising nine-year-old, but he's been very competitive. He hasn't won since Toxplate Day 2022. But winter racing is all about breaking droughts. And I reckon for want of a tip, he can win this at $31. You can play it each way, and I think he'll give you a good run for your money. Just remember, Nicolini Vito has been in good form lately, and he hadn't won for nearly 2 years either. So, like I say, it's drought-breaking season. It's drought-broke season. It's Desert Icon season.
Yeah, I don't know about that, Rog. I was sort of looking at the form very deeply on this race, and I was also wanting to bet on Desert Icon here. But you know, beaten 21 lengths its last two starts. Not sure you can be diving into that at any odds. $31 won't be getting any of mine. I'm going to stick with the favourite, go Moody's way, I reckon. Luntzies, Chris Lees, Ryan Maloney, third up, drawn well. You're getting each way odds. So if you're desperate to have a bet in what is a pretty poor edition of the Ipswich Cup, I'd be sort of taking each way Luntzies. That'll do.
I'm just straight up pineapple, boys.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. I'm not going to criticise you for that.
There's one horse in this race has won a race in its last five starts. Like, I could have supplied half the field for this because I've got 10 of them at home that haven't won in their last five or six. So, good luck. Someone is going to earn $145,000 under false pretenses here on Saturday. I wish I had one in it. I wish I had one good enough to run in it. It's a pineapple. Do your best, team.
Well, you do. Yeah. This is, we were just peek behind the curtain for our listeners here. Me and Moose were just having a quick chat in that little break while Mitho was off doing something. And he probably does have a few, and he's spewing that you were saying Red Sun Sensation, you wish you'd noticed because it... You know, like I said, there's nothing to get excited about form-wise in this. And if you'd sent Red Sun Station up, he might have come up favourite.
Him or Pounding or something like that could have gone round in it for sure. They've been belting around and running seconds and thirds and fourths here in Melbourne. But I wasn't smart enough to do it, so someone else is going to get the 145 grand. Good luck.
Yes, and Mitho, I do know Desert Icon has been beaten 20 lengths the last two starts, but he's very much 2,000 and beyond. And so this, hopefully, at $31, you can just have $2 on it, and hopefully take the punt that 21.50 is more his go than 16 and 1,800, which I think it definitely is.
You still sound like you're trying to talk yourself into it. You know, just do you need the number for responsible gambling there, Rog? I've got it on speed dial.
I bet you do. It was basically a pineapple, like I said, but I thought I'd throw one out there just in case. I'll tell you what, if Desert Icon gets up, I'm going to look like a bloody genius.
The only reason why I gave a tip was because it was $1.04 that Moody was going to be a pineapple. I thought we can't have two pineapples out of the three of us.
I don't think the eyeliner's a pineapple. I think there's a very good bet here in the eyeliner. The market will tell you that the favourite for this race with Yellow Brick coming out very early after acceptances is Watego's, Watego's, whatever it is, from Bjorn Baker, $2.45. $5.50 Jigsaw in from $7.50. Never won at this 1,350 metres. Never won beyond 1,200, I don't think. Fancifier, $6.50 into $6. $11 for Blazer Trail. Lost in Transit has been the market mover. $31 it opened this afternoon into $11. So I think connections have got on there. And then you can have $14 or more for the rest. I am very keen here. I'm very keen on Watego's. If Yellow Brick is a good horse, and I think he is, he's clearly above average, then I can't see any other option but back Watego's here. Ran Yellow Brick to just over half a length a fortnight ago at 1,500. It comes back in trip to this one, which is more suited, and faces a far inferior opposition. Barrier one should allow him to get into a forward east position, be pretty comfortable. Look, Fancifier's been good in her last two runs, both Melbourne City wins in fillies and mares, 78s, but she's got a rising class a little bit, take on the boys. I'm happy to sit with Watego's, and I don't think Fancifier will go to this race, as you will hear in Best Bets.
I like one too here at a bit of odds. Blazer Trail at $11 each way, $3.10 the place. You can be, you know, maybe two by five Blazer Trail and come out on top without too much trouble. Drawn six, Ryan Maloney up. Good fresh horse, won three times out of eight starts fresh, placed another couple. So I reckon your place money's pretty safe on a 11-1 shot here, and has trialled a couple of times leading up to this. So we'll be wound up for the 13.50 first up. Yeah, I like Blazer Trail a bit. I'm warming to it the more I speak.
And actually ran third in this race last year, Mitho, so maybe a bit of a target race for the Mar Stable Blazer Trail. Oh, God, I wish I had a pineapple farm. I'd just throw it out all day today. But listen, Watergoes, I think he's the horse to beat off the back of that yellow brick form. Probably just has the fitness edge, but I, like you, think Blazer Trail each way all day. So 7 from 3 for me.
Launch your punting plan with the Ladbrokes app. Loaded with the best racing features, including bet ticker, yard comment, and black book. Ladbroken. What's gambling really costing you?
Okay, before we get to the best bets, it's time to announce two winners. Both got a double pass to the South Belgrade Football Club Luncheon at Crown on July the 26th, hosted by myself, but more importantly with guests Bomber Thompson, Peter Dacos, Sam Kekovic, Stephen Milne, Peter Moody, and a mystery guest who I honestly don't know who it is. I want to find out before I host. I asked Moods. He didn't know either.
Rog, it's me, mate.
Geez, I hope you're full of shit there. And that would, you know, history would suggest you are. The first winner is Nathan Deepgrond, who said he was, we actually mentioned him last week. Now, Rayman judged these. We mentioned him last week because he's one of the boys who was over there in the Greek islands, the Mythos boys. And he said, oh, hey, fellas, Mythos boys here. Phillips from Best Bets. Now, we asked 25 words or less what your best bets, best story was. Hello, fellas, Mythos boys here. Phillips from Best Bets is what got us here to the Greek, wherever they were, from the one-time Brooklyn Hustle run to Autumn Angel. Rayman, of course, like I said, if you potted Mitha, it was a fair leg up. So Nate, you have won yourself and a mate to come along to the luncheon on Friday the 26th at Crown. And Ben from Bayside, most memorable Moody on the Mic multi October 7, 2023 at $112. Pierre Rosser from Rayman, Stretton Angel from Rog, life lessons from Moods. Obviously, I didn't bother listening to Mitho's best. Thanks, lads. So,
well done, bro.
They're on the Ladbrokes. They're on the Ladbrokes table, mate. So you can mosey on your way over there.
Can you just make sure that you text me on the day what table number that is? I'll look forward to introducing myself to those boys. They might be just a little bit worried to learn that I'm 6'2". But then they'll realise that I'm also scared, and the last fight I won by 100 metres.
Rightio, best bets, let's get it over and done with. Mine, as I alluded to, is Fancify. It's a dual acceptor. I think she's going to run in race 5 at Ipswich on Saturday, not in the eyeliner, and that comes off the back of her 2 Melbourne City wins. Now, this is a South Australian trained mare, Michael Hickmott. Well, she gets in nicely, set weights and penalties over 1,350 metres, draw nicely barrier 6. She's in form. She's got Michael Wright in the saddle. Look, he's been out of the game for a while, but he's still riding pretty well upon return. I'm a big Michael Wright fan. But Fancify, Ipswich, race 5, number 13 is my best bet. I think we did all right in best bets last weekend. Mine ran second, but I think everyone else went all right.
I think I gave a reasonable push for Bazusto each way as well, which would have lined a few pockets, running third behind Broadsiding in the JJ Atkins. But quiet day for the red team, middle of winter. Suppose you want to hold your bullets until things hot up a little later in the season, into the spring. But we do have a winner for you, which is good news. Race 8 at Morphettville, benchmark 80, Buse, drops down in the weights a little here, drawn a little sticky. But I like his odds. They're betting you $5 and $2.05. And over the border to South Australia, Mick Price and Mick Kent Jr., they're dynamite when they take one in a state. And it's been a little flashing light on their calendar for a few weeks now to get Buse into this race. So I think you can bet with a bit of confidence here, especially each way, $5 Buse over at Morphettville, race 8, number 11.
Before you jump in there, Moods, we do have to give away the double pass onto your table. And so what I want from the listeners this week, now, same email, moodymailbag@gmail.com. I want to know your favourite Moody mispronunciation. He struggled with the English language and over the journey, and we've had some classics, some ones we really love. Ingratiating was certainly one of my favourites, but you can't use that one. You've got to tell me your there's been one this episode already. Just tell me your favourite Moody mispronunciation. If I remember it, we'll whack it into the drawer and draw that one at random, because there's just going to be so many. But message in your favourite Moody mispronunciation, moodymailbag@gmail.com, for your chance to win a double pass on Peter Moody's table at the South Belgrave Footy Club luncheon at Crown July 26. And just remember, you're probably not going to be at his table very much, because he's the king over there in South Belgrave. He'll be just talking to everyone, taking it in, Moods. Give us your best for the weekend. What do you got?
Well, I'm sorry, Rog. At school, I was quite popular and I was a bit busy to learn, and you're a little fat kid.
That's true.
You were terrified to move, to sit there and do things. And you got Mytho here, you know, journalistic, private school, educated toff, knob jockey, and Rain Man. Well, he's just a geek. So I'm sorry that I don't speak quite correctly. But listen, quite day for the boutique stable, too. Only three runners this weekend, team, all at Flemington, race 8. Flemington, Rod, you got a market there for me. Horses 9 and 10, My Xanadu and Tuckamore.
Flemington, race 8, horse 9, My Xanadu, is $11 out to $12. And Tuckamore, who's owned by your good self, has been 21 out to $31. So you haven't obviously had a bet yourself yet, Peter.
No, well, listen, I think both these fillies can run very well. I thought My Xanadu was very good at her third run in the other day, and winning at Caulfield out to 2,000 will suit her. Her mum was a Group 1 winner at 2,000 Lights of Heaven. So I think she'll give you an excellent sight. And I think Tuckamore can improve rapidly. Blinkers on, left-handed whip rider in C. Newitt, I think, are well suited. So you can certainly put those two fillies in 9 and 10 each way. And Scorsese in race 9, number 6, drawn down low in the sprint up the straight. Listen, I think he'll need a bit of luck, but he's raced unbelievably consistent all winter, so probably not the worst. So, listen, I'm going to go for Maruffian race 8 as my best. Race 8, horse 10, Tuckamore each way. I think she'll give you a great sight. And let's hope they can Quinella 1-2, 9 and 10 in race 8. Good luck, good punting. Not sure that there's a lot of fast horses out there this weekend, team, but let fast horses run fast.
Ladbrokes.